Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Tom. Tom, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Tom Lenoble, and I am a coach, a professional speaker, a soon-to-be author, and I am also the host and creator of the Opening Pathways podcast. And I'm the CEO of the Academy for Coaching Excellence, a training academy for coaches here in the United States, although we've coached people around the world.
Welcome. I'm super excited to have you here today. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
Well, when I hear the word survival mode, it makes me think of something that is near and dear to me because my whole business is based on risk and resilience. And survival mode sounds like resilience to me, that something in life happens to you and it is requires you to go in survival mode and that you find a way to the other side. You find a way, as I like to say from Maya Angelou's quote, every storm runs out of rain. How do we realize that there's another side to these storms in our lives?
I love that you use that quote, right? Because oftentimes we get caught up in the rain and we don't recognize that the rain actually helps what we need in life to grow. And, yes. You know, I tell everyone, every survival mode that we might find ourselves in is an opportunity to learn the lessons that life is trying to teach us. And then that edifies us and prepares us for our next step. So, Tom, why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
Well, I will. I'd be delighted to. And it's so nice to be with you today, Leticia. Thank you so much for inviting me. You know, I like to say I retired being retired to be inspired. So I had a great corporate life. Some of your viewers will know these companies. I originally worked for MCI, this company that broke up all the Bell companies here in America so we could all dial long distance with a one. And they're now part of Verizon. And then I was the head of customer service at Walmart.com. And then I led global service operations for Palm, the Palm Pilot Trio people, if you remember that. And they're part of HP today. And then I got this phone call at my desk one day at Palm. I happened to be in the office and not traveling. And the person said they were a recruiter from a little company called Facebook. And they were interested in talking to me. And I had no idea what Facebook was because most people didn't. It was still only in colleges. And I said, thank you and goodbye and appreciate it, but no, I'm not interested. And then a buddy called me and said, I referred you to Facebook and you didn't even talk to them. Long story short, I interviewed with Mark Zuckerberg when he was 19, and I went to Facebook to work and set up all their initial customer operations, user operations, and a bunch of other stuff there. Then I was the chief support officer for a company that is now the backbone of the Geek Squad remote support. My consulting business boards would bring me in to. They'd tell me a problem, which was never the problem, and they'd bring me in as a COO or the VP of HR to tackle some problem. I worked for a dating site for them for a while that Match.com bought, and I managed that merger. And then I fell in love and got married, and I traveled the world, and I just decided that I had too much wisdom I had learned over the years, too much to share, and wanted to get back in line with work. Now, I'm going to share something with you because when people hear I work for Facebook, I think I was in the first 100 employees. I might have been 57, 67, somewhere around there. People always want to know, did you get the stock? Right?
Did you?
So here's the answer. I did a calculation before we got on the phone. If I had not sold one share of that stock, today I would be worth over $200 million. But I sold it and I don't regret a thing about it. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. So I want to also let you know through everything that I told you, because I shared with you what I am now. I'm a coach. And all the other things that I do, and about my book coming out, which I hope your readers will get. It's called, the title is My Life in Business Suits, Hospital Gowns, and High Heels. And no, I'm not going to tell you about the high heels. You'll have to buy the book. However, during all of that, please know that I was given 6 months to live three times. I learned the meaning of something I call terrible gifts. Many people can relate to this because things happen in our lives, whether it's related to health or some tragedy or some breakup or breakdown or whatever it is, that we got a gift out of it. Well, I call those terrible gifts. So my book is about that. It's about a memoir about my life, my early life, my experience in business, my experience in hospital gowns, those flimsy pieces of fabric that never tie in the back very well, and we usually have you know what out. And then again, the high heels you'll have to read about. The tagline is in control, being controlled, and out of control. So why don't I regret that I'm not over $200 million richer today? Because I became a philanthropist. I support nonprofit programs such as underserved communities, youth in the arts, first-gen students, women's empowerment and current relevant issues, hunger, things like that, GLBTQ plus issues, things of that nature that are really, really important to me. And then, as I shared, I'm also the CEO of the Coaching Academy for Excellence, which is a really wonderful organization, been around for over 20 years. We're an ICF certified level two. And then the Opening Pathways podcast, I interview tech CEOs and founders and also nonprofit executive directors. I have an interview with them. It's great. I love it. And I also started a nonprofit with my CPA. She and I are good friends. She's from Haiti, and we decided to open a little nonprofit together. We stay under the radar, but we do things like we offer acupuncture or Pilates to women that are discharged from San Francisco General Hospital with domestic violence. and they're just discharged. Well, we offer them something to get acquainted with their bodies. And one of my favorite programs is a woman in Oakland, California, teaches saxophone to little at-risk boys that she sees on the street. And we just make it possible for her to teach more little at-risk boys saxophone. So, in closing, to tell you about me, the dandelion is one of my favorite symbols. It's even the logo to my business. Most people see it as a weed. I see it as resilience, because no matter what you do to it, you can chop it down, you can poison it, you can do whatever you want, it comes right back. And when the wind blows, it spreads. So, your viewers, anyone can be in the middle of a storm right now, but believe me, every storm runs out of rain. And when it does, it makes that soil really wet and fertile. And what I love to ask people, what are you going to plant?
Ooh, yes. It's interesting that you talk about the soil, right? I recently had a conversation with someone and we were talking about how sometimes in life we get things handed to us that we don't necessarily like. And as that person was saying it, what came up for me was manure, right? Like, no one wants a gift of manure. However, if they're growing a garden, that manure has a purpose. And I think oftentimes, we are handed situations in life and we often look at the surface. But when we dig a little deeper and we really, and oftentimes it happens in hindsight, right? We can see the contribution to our growth in hindsight from this situation, circumstance that we may not necessarily feel has any value to our lives. So whenever I hear people talk about gardens, and it always brings me back to that, right? We are planted, we're often in a very dark place, but we grow and we evolve and we emerge as a different being as a result of the circumstances that might have
Yes.
kept us in the darkness. Now, you mentioned that you were given a 6-month life sentence 3 times.
Three
I'm
times.
curious about this time.
Yeah. First, I love this concept about manure because, as we know, we put it around our plants and look what happens, right? Well, the manure of our life grows things too if we're open to it. Yes, I had 6 months to live three times. And it's interesting, I won't say that it was always this way with me, but I'm one of those people, when you tell me I can't do something, my first reaction is, watch this. And so I applied that. So those times that I was very sick and was told I had 6 months to live, I looked at it of like, okay, well, I'm not sure that I'm believe that or that I'm ready for that, but I know one thing. I'm going to make the most out of this 6 months that I can, if that's the case. And I think that's the tenet, if you will, of resilience, because out of being willing to make the most of the manure, we often get a gift. Something grows and we get a gift. And that happened to me. I live today with metastatic cancer. I've had it for 13 years, and it's my second life-threatening illness. And I'm still here.
What a miracle, to be honest. But you bring us to like really a really important point. It's we have to be willing. A lot of times our willingness escapes us, and then we wonder why we get stuck in these cycles that we find ourselves in. And one of the things that I learned as I was training to be a coach myself was your willingness to change has to supersede your willingness to remain the same. And oftentimes people don't push their willingness enough, right? They see an obstacle, they size themselves up against the obstacle, and they often walk in the opposite direction. But this is an opportunity to expand, to grow, to edify yourself. And if you are walking away from that or not willing to challenge things, then your circumstances never change. Another thing that I found interesting about what you said is belief, our belief in things often helps us rewrite our narratives, right? I have a family member also who has dealt with cancer, and I think everyone else around her was devastated by the news. And she was so certain that she would get through it unscathed. I mean, with certainty, the way she showed up was so inspirational to me that she ended up having an operation to remove the cancer. She didn't need chemo as suspected. She didn't need radiation as suspected. And I always bring it back to it had to be her belief because it all starts in our mind, right? If we give up. Because we don't believe that we have the strength to manage things before we even take any action, we failed, right?
Yes,
It all
yes.
starts with our mind. And I love what you said about that. And I want to expand on that a bit more about what it took for you to manage this chronic illness really with your mindset.
Yeah, it's interesting because people will ask me, well, why are you still here? And my answer is, first of all, I had good medical care, I've had access to good medical care treatment. On and on of those things. But the one thing I know is true is I believed I could be here. I believed that I could be here and I do my best. And I'm not saying this is easy for other people. I'm just asking people to be willing to maybe be open to it because I realize I'm not the normal person. I mean, last year alone, I had three different series of radiation. I probably glow in the dark, Letitia. I've had so much radiation. I walk into the waiting room, and then they take me into a smaller waiting room. It's the men's dressing room, and we're all sitting around in those little flimsy hospital gowns with our butts out. And I can see people who are frightened. I can see people who are scared, and I don't talk to them about it right away. I just say, "Hi, how are you?" Always leads to a conversation that I can smell, sense, feel their fear. I know going through it that I have something they don't have. It's often their first time, and doctors don't take the time to explain what's getting ready to happen. So I take a few moments to dismantle some of what's going to happen. Like the next time you come, you actually don't have to take your clothes off, or what it's going to look like in the room. So to me, that's a part of giving back. That's part of service, right? But then when I get in the room, the techs are always wondering, who is this dude, right? Because I look at the machine and I go, well, here we are again. I might even say a little prayer to it. I lay down and I engage with it. And so instead of going to a place where I'm freaked out and in fear and panic, I just trying to engage with what is happening and what is. So for me, that makes the process much easier. You never know when the lab result's going to come back or the scan's going to come back and something's going to be there. I'm grateful the times that it isn't. I'm grateful for the times when it is and I can do something about it. There's been a few times when I've told there's nothing to do. That's when that happens for Tom Lenoble. Nothing to do. Watch this. So I then go into information gathering mode. I start seeking, I start reaching out to other people, maybe other doctors or other facilities to find out what's possible. I think these kinds of things where we get involved and we're willing to be a partner to what's happening with us, a friend to what's happening to us, engage with what's happening to us, as horrific as it may be, we take our power back.
I love that you said engaged, right? Because so many of us sit on the sidelines of our own lives. We just sit there and watch life pass us by, often with resentment, often with regrets, often with stories that we will tell later as if we've been victimized by our circumstances. And when we can learn to engage, to step into our story with power, that's when we experience freedom. That's when we experience healing. That's when we experience our shift in our psyche, right? When I
Yes.
talk about accident survival mode, I talk about it in three stages. Self-awareness, we can't change what we can't see. Reprogramming, we have to shift the narratives that we held on to during survival. And that is a reinvention, right? The person who we became in order to survive is very different from the person we become in order to thrive. And we must be willing to let go of that identity so we can step into our own power. And a huge part of that process, I believe, is in the reprogramming. Like, when I talk about my own healing, I was a victim of teenage domestic abuse. That relationship ended in my early 20s as a result of me being stabbed. I went on to have multiple abusive relationships. And it wasn't until I settled into the fact that my story was bigger than me and I had an impact to make into my life. And I began learning about what it meant to be a coach because a coach helped me change my life and understanding the link between feelings, emotions, thoughts, and actions. That was life-changing for me because for so long, I was a prisoner of my emotions and a prisoner of my thoughts and my thinking, right? Learning that 95% of my thoughts are recycled from yesterday really got me thinking differently. Because, I mean, if I'm thinking the same thoughts for 20 years, nothing about my life other than the exterior changes. And I think it's so important for people to recognize how much power they have here, because this is
Yes.
where it all begins.
Yes. I love this idea that you bring up, Letitia, about engaging, because what happens when we engage, and this isn't for everybody, but what happens is by engaging, we inspire others. And my life's work and purpose is I'm an inspirator. I inspire others to take action to reach their goals and dreams. So when we engage in these things, we demonstrate to others that there's possibility, that there's hope, that there's another path, that there is, as Maya says, every storm runs out of rain. You know, I think it's so important when we look at these things. You know, I get, and I love your word reinvention. I have a keynote that I do, believe it or not, called Risk, Resilience, and Reinvention.
Yeah, reinvention is key. A lot of us hold on to these narratives. I could have held on to the fact that I was a survivor for the rest of my life, but I'm not a survivor. I'm a victor. And there is a huge difference in the
Yes.
two. And
Yes.
I did, it wasn't something that I recognized. You know, we as society celebrate surviving as if it's the final destination. And let me tell you, it isn't. It gets you through that
Yes.
dark period, but there's still that mountaintop that we need to aspire to. And it doesn't happen unless we take ownership of our lives. And I think being able and willing to reinvent ourselves every day, we can wake up different. We can decide to be someone different, right? The
Absolutely.
choice is ours. And we get to choose from a place of power, which is what I love.
Yeah, I think there's three places we can live from. We can live in the past, we can live in the present, or we can live in the future. Now, what I've learned is living in the past, unless you can learn something, is kind of useless because there are no do-overs. Whatever happened, happened. Learn something, and I'm not belittling that tragic things happen to people, but to live there, you're missing what's happening in the present. If we go too far in the future, other than making sure the electric bill's paid and things like that, so the lights aren't turned out, we really don't know what's going to happen. But to me, the most important thing is right here in the present, because if we're living in either of those places, we're going to miss what's happening right now, which could be a anything from a beautiful butterfly flying by, a beautiful sky, or the opportunity of a lifetime that we weren't paying attention to know what was happening.
Absolutely. So many of us do not know how to be. We know how to do. We know how it exists. We do not know how to be. And being is embracing the present, right? Like I had someone tell me, when you're living in the past, you're leading yourself to depression. When you're living in the future, you're leading yourself to anxiety. When you live in the present, you are in control.
Yes, I love that you bring this up about being, because at the Academy for Coaching Excellence, we use what's called an ontological model. And ontology is the study of being, just like psychology is the study of your thoughts, your dreams, and those kinds of things. Ontology is the study of how you're being. And how you're being is where the magic happens to determine and explore, are you doing what you came here to do? Are you positioned to reach your goals and dreams or even figure out what they are? But all that happens in the present when you're being.
And you know, that brings in another important point, because oftentimes the reason why we struggle in the present is because we have no clarity around our purpose. We're just here. And when we can get to a place where we anchor into our purpose, it almost paves the path for us, because now we can operate from a place of inspired action. We can challenge the steps that we take. Is this in alignment with my purpose? Is this in alignment with my values? But a lot of us aren't taught this process, right? A lot of us think that our purpose just drops in our laps, and sometimes we have to search for it.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to dig and uncover what's going on underneath the surface so that we can get that clarity that we need.
Which is one of the great things you and I get to do as coaches, is we help people uncover their purpose, or at least the kind of coaching I do. And I suspect after speaking to you for this time period, you as well, of how we hold the space for people to see. You know, I have this thing in my practice called the haystack method. You know how people say it's like finding a needle in a haystack? Well, to me, it's quite simple. You just remove the hay. I think people have their own answers, their own needle, if you will. And what I do is hold the space to allow them to clear the hay so they can see the needle, so they can find their own answer.
I love that. I love that. Coaching is spectacular. And this is coming from someone who spent years in therapy. My biggest aha moments, my biggest steps forward were as a result of working with a coach, because she held that mirror up to me that I never saw before, right? And really helped me challenge the narratives that I had held on with such force, because that's all I knew. And I think, you know, coaches are special people, because it's definitely a different modality than therapy, but it's action based, it's action layered, and I think it's such a beautiful modality of healing and progression and
Yes.
achieving.
Yeah, I think it's really important when we talk about coaching. And, you know, I talk with other coaches about this, especially at the academy and just coaches that I interact with. It's really important that we discern the difference between therapy and coaching. Therapy, psychotherapy, is often interested in what happened to you when you were five, or what happened in your last relationship, or whatever those things are, where coaching is really more about what's going on in your life and how we can help people get clear on their purpose, maybe their next step, help them explore those things. And I think it's really powerful. I know so many therapists that have become coaches for that exact reason, because as a therapist, they're sort of locked in by their license to what they do. And while we're certified as coaches, we have much more leeway to kind of work with people about more broadly and look at different things that may be going on in their lives and help them come up with some answers.
The clarity is key, and yeah, freeing and full of abundance when you can grasp it in its fullness. Tom,
Yes.
I have enjoyed this conversation immensely. Why don't you tell us a bit more about how we can find you online and a
I'd
little bit
love to.
more of the work that you do?
Oh, thank you so much, Letitia. I appreciate it. You can find me at www.tomlenoble.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. And I'm a coach. I do a lot of coaching of executives. I do retreats for nonprofits. I coach individuals. I kind of do the whole thing. And I'm also a speaker. I do professional speaking. I have engagements that I do, and I go talk about some of the things we've talked about today, which I love to do. It's a real passion of mine. And then I have this book coming out, My Life in Business Suits, Hospital Gowns, and High Heels, that I hope your viewers will watch for in the fall, October. I'm not supposed to say that. And then I'm also, you can go see my podcast, Opening Pathways. It's on all the major platforms, Opening Pathways with Tom Lenoble. And then check out the Academy for Coaching Excellence. You'll learn about what we offer coaches and our program, that what we teach there and how we help people. We're ICF certified, and how we help people become ICF certified coaches if that's what they choose to do. So that's where you can find me.
Yes, and we'll make sure all of that information is in the show notes. So before we wrap it all up, Tom, one last key takeaway for the audience.
One last key for the audience is this: wherever you think you are today, no matter whether you feel good about it, whether you feel like, oh, I wish I was someplace else, it's all in your power and control. You're the one driving your destiny. You're the one that opens doors. You're the one that creates the path and the journey that you're going to be on. Take action. Baby steps are amazing. Baby steps turns into leaps. And by all means, if you need some help, find a coach.
I love it. You're in the driver's seat. You can do it. And if you can't, if you feel like you can't, seek assistance. There are plenty of us out here that would love to see you
Exactly.
move forward. So, Tom, thank you so much for your time on Survival Made Disrupted. And audience, I just want to remind you, you are not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.